2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch, brought to you by those damn fancy folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you go to the website and do so. Use the promo code PODCAST. We got a monthly and a yearly subscription that you could sign up to. With all that subscription, you get 24 access to our daily Slack chat channel. You got me, Keith, Taco, Kevin, Chop, all the MLB folks in there in the mix. You get abs to that. And, of course, you get access to the Domination Station, which can hook you up with some great golf, NASCAR, MMA lines, all sorts of things over there. Just make sure you go to DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST, and get yourself acquainted with us. And get yourself a cell phone alert as well. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.Walsh. Find my co-host as well, Keith Hall, Boomer's DFS Daddy. So I talked with you about this before we hit the record button, but today is just going to be a straight off the walls sort of podcast. We're not going with any notes. We're not going with anything. We're just going right off the internet.
The internet, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right?
That is very true. Now,
and we put things on the internet every day. True.
That is true. Now,
we never have told a lie.
It's so true. Everything you said is so true because you read it off the internet, but I wanted to read these lyrics to you before we get going here. So, and this is for the questions that don't have an answer. The midnight glancers and the topless dancers, the can of freaks, cars packed with speakers, the G's with the 40s and the chicks with speakers. The northern lights and the southern comfort. And it don't even matter if your veins is punctured. All the crackheads, the critics, the cynics, and all my heroes at the methadone clinics. Let's give it up for Kid Rock, everyone.
Wow, we're going back to my freshman in high school days.
I was about to say, is that an Oklahoma field party anthem right there?
I was not in Oklahoma at the time that this song was released.
Okay. I'm just saying, but if you were in Oklahoma, that's probably how it would go down.
I was in Colorado.
All right, same thing, right? Yeah, sure. No. Okay.
There's not even a remotely like
little bit of altitude, a little bit of altitude out there.
Yeah, it's night and day different, dude.
All right, so we've got on this Tuesday, we've got two afternoon games. That is the Cubs at the Rockies, the Rangers at the Padres. That will not be on today's podcast, but we've got 13 other games that we can get to. We're not going to be doing the game-by-game situation. We've heard the people. We have heard their cries. They want shorter podcasts. They want more in-depth, get into the guts sort of situation. So
basically what we're saying is they want less of us.
See that's a weird thing. Now
you see, you didn't think about it that way, did you?
Yeah, I did not. Less of us means less Kid Rock rapping.
It also means less time that they have to listen to our sexy voices. Anyway, how'd your night go?
It was not bad. I was kicking some ass on FIFA last night, so I really did not get much sleep at all.
I was more trying to direct towards the DFS side of things, but that'll work too.
Okay. I mean, now when I get less sleep, that actually makes for a better podcast, because here's my thing. The more that I talk, the more entertainment that we all get. Cause I might slip up and say something stupid and that leads us down another path that we might not go on a regular podcast. So, that's how I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah, I, Oh, kind of tilted a little bit from last night still, so.
Yeah, I am a little bit myself. I mean, you know, we had the Dodgers just absolutely go bananas there at the end.
I knew that was going to happen.
Jed Lowry, who was at the top of Boomer's Bombers yesterday, by the way, at the second base position. He double dongs and just completely throws things out of whack, but that's okay. You know, there were a whole lot of different situations going on right there, but we got to pick it up today. And by the way, the Seattle Mariners are in Philadelphia tonight. Now, my 12-year-old self is doing backflips out in the backyard right now because this is where Ken Griffey Jr. would be coming to Veterans Stadium right now. But again, this is my 12-year-old self.
Ken Griffey Jr. is now permanently housed in Cooperstown, New York.
Yes, that is true. But when I was young, like I was such a huge Philadelphia Phillies fan. But the fact that he had like aqua shoes and, you know, just was a like such a badass on the Seattle Mariners, that, like it gave me a team on each coast. So I had the Phillies, I had the Mariners. Well, guess what? They're playing each other today.
And don't act like you didn't have the Mariners jersey with the teal bill turned around and you weren't wearing it backwards.
Oh my God! Now in Bayonne, New Jersey, we played bounce pitch stickball when we kind of had a little green monster of our own out there at Lincoln Day School out there. But yes, I mean we can go all the way back with this, but you know, let's keep it all for the viewers here. Again, 13 games on today's slate, but I guess we got to start it out today at pitcher. Let's talk about Max Scherzer today going up against these Baltimore Orioles. Now, I know that we said we weren't going to have, you know, we're going to go straight off the internet. We weren't going to bring too many stats into this one. But did you know that Max Scherzer has a 37% strikeout rate against right-handed hitters this season?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that is a true story right there, folks. So, as you know, the Baltimore Orioles, they don't bring too many left-handers to the table. Yes, they've got a who do they got there? They've got a Chris Davis who strikes out, you know, if the wind's blowing the right way. You got
Seth Smith.
We got Kim. We got Seth Smith going over there. But they really don't have too many lefties to bring to the table. So, again, I know that Scherzer's going to be taking on the Orioles who, you know, they're gonna have the DH. They're not going to be putting the pitcher out there at the table. But I still think Scherzer's the top pitcher of the day, even going against the DH.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. He's by far the top pitcher on the slate as far as price and as far as ceiling is concerned. I don't think you can fully fade him tonight if you're making multiple lineups, but I don't think he's a must play because of what we have going on later on in the slate. It's going to be like we had to do the other night where we had to basically either choose to play Coors or to play Clayton Kershaw. And one of those options is going to be correct, but you're not going to be able to fit in both probably unless some extreme value opens up. So now I haven't looked at a lot of the prices, so I'm strictly going on a memory standpoint of who could and could not be cheap right now.
Okay.
But I don't think there's going to be a lot of, like, you know, 2.3K guys that have the ability to go double dong like Jed Lowry did last night.
Fair enough. Now, I wanted to ask you this. Now, I've actually been having some of my most success going with the upper echelon of pitchers like your Kershaws, your Max Scherzers, guys like that. And like, regardless of what they did, I had one of my best nights of the season when Kershaw, the other night when he gave up a couple runs and, you know, he didn't do his usual Kershaw thing. I don't know if it's making me go and find more dollar per point bats or whatever the case is, but whatever the case may be, if I go ace, I've been having a pretty good night so far. So I think I got to stick with that notion.
Well, it's just like we talked about yesterday. You know, I sat there and I screamed to people, play the best plays. Don't worry a damn lick about salary. And yep. What happens, you know, unless you, like, fit it in really, really good with your stacks. I'm trying to find out what the ownership percentage is off of Jed Lowry, because I had him in a couple lineups, but you know, he wasn't highly owned.
No, not at all.
I mean, let's see here. Thanks Rangers for doing nothing. You screwed me. Thanks
Cahill.
Jose Peraza for doing nothing. You screwed me.
How about that Trevor Cahill though?
Plouffe had a good game.
He donged.
Yeah, he donged. Jed Lowry was 9.1% owned. So unfortunately, he was also in the lineup with Steven Vogt, Yonder Alonso, Chris Davis, who did absolutely nothing, and my Rockies stack.
Did dick yesterday. Now, I did say in Boomers Bombers yesterday, which I contributed to, but catcher and second base was really where I shined. Everywhere else, we don't have to go back to those positions. But yesterday with Jed Lowry, the caveat with him was that he was batting, second in the lineup, as opposed to Derek Dietrich, who I was enamored with all day. And, he was batting seventh. So I said, you know what? We're going to put Lowry up there in the number one spot since he's hitting second. And God damn it, he absolutely shined, my friend. And by the way, our boy Ryan Schimpf dong yesterday as well.
Yes, he did. He had a good game as well.
He even got on base a couple times as well.
He did. And I had a lot of the right stacks. I just did not have them together. And I did not have a Cardinal stack. It kind of didn't work out the way I wanted it to. It was close. I had a couple teams that finished towards the top, but not quite as good as it needed to. Just didn't have the right stacks put together. So,
all right, let's not talk about you. Let's talk about these pitchers that we got here today. We've got a lot of good ones here, right? So we brought up Max Scherzer. I think he's going to be a fantastic option today against the Baltimore Orioles. But we got to talk about my boy, your boy too, Drew Pomeranz, the lefty for the Red Sox. Now, he is going into a hitter's park at Milwaukee, which kind of sucks. But you got to keep in mind here, too, that he does face Wily Peralta. So we are hoping that he gets two free strikeouts here. And hopefully these aren't two bunt situations. So what do you think about Pomeranz today? I mean, he's 8,300 on FanDuel. That's a pretty damn good price. A lot more cheaper than Scherzer is going up against these Baltimore Orioles. I don't know, man. Dollar point perspective, kind of like Pomeranz a little more.
Yeah, I do. I actually do like Pomeranz a little bit more just because he's got better, I guess you would say, better strikeout upside. His strikeout percentage for the opponent facing is a little bit better. Not much, but it is a little bit better. You're looking at a 20.3 for the Orioles versus a 26.2 for the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's actually the second highest on the slate, other than the Tampa Bay Rays facing off Chris Young.
Oh, dear. All right, so
Who is not an option, by the way.
All right. We do still have a couple other matchups that I do want to talk about before we move on to some of the guys holding bats tonight. So an interesting matchup out in the desert with Robbie Ray going up against Justin Verlander. Now, we know both of these guys can get down with the strikeouts. Robbie Ray, he doesn't even need an opposition to get his strikeouts. He'll just get it up against anybody. But Justin Verlander goes to the NL Park tonight, gets to go up against Ray, could have an extra strikeout or two. And again, these Diamondbacks are striking out. But of course, it is the desert. Shit can get funky.
Yeah, it always can get funky. Or funky.
Funky, not funky. Funky.
That's why they're talking about putting a humidor in. And it'll be ready here probably, I think, the end of May, beginning part of June. So, okay. We got to take advantage. Now, I do think that this is a good opportunity to also stack against these pitchers. This is one of the, this is one of the places where I do like having, plays on both sides.
Sure.
But we've got to go. I mean, the way that Justin Verlander's looked, I mean, it's very hard not to completely just ignore him. I don't care who he's facing. He's always got that upside. Plus, he has the knowledge and the wherewithal to make adjustments in the middle of the game. He's not going to get rattled. Even if he gets rocked, he's not going to get rattled. He's still going to come right after you. And that's something I kind of like. Not only that, but he also is not a guy that's going to be pulled at the first sign of trouble. So he's gonna even if he does allow like three runs in an inning, you know, as long as he's not throwing 50 pitches an inning or 30 pitches an inning, then he's probably going to last you 6-7 innings. He's going to work deeper into games, and that's something that, you know, we always need, especially on FanDuel, where we're kind of gunning for the quality start. So
yeah, that's going to be an interesting situation now. Based on Vegas right now, they kind of have it sort of as an even situation. They have the Tigers right now at -110. We got the over-under at 8.5. But again, I think both of these guys have some very good strikeout upside, so I definitely want to take a look at them. Now, a very underrated matchup. Now, there is one in L.A. that we'll get to, but I want to talk about this one since I, you know, it's a little close to home here. But Ariel Miranda going up against Jared Eichhoff. Now, Miranda, we've seen him this season. Now, he is an extreme flyball pitcher, but he's kind of worked his way out of some jams. He is going up against a Phillies team that has shown themselves to be weak. Now, and then we've got Jared Eichhoff, who's been a strong pitcher this season, but he's done nothing but go up against studs this year. Now, if you look at all six of his starts, he's gone against the Cubs, the Nationals, the Mets. You know, we can go down the list, you know, with the rest of the teams he's gone against. I don't necessarily want to try to pick on him going against the Mariners at Citizens Bank Park, but it's an interesting GPP situation.
Who, Miranda?
No, Jared Eichhoff. They are losing the DH going to the NL Park.
I understand that, but you still have Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, Nelson Cruz, Ben Gamble, and Taylor Motter in the middle of this lineup, and that's not, you know, it's not
way murderers. To make it sound fun, bruh.
It's not 1927 Yankees Murderers Row, but it's not like it's, you know, 2000. It's not like it's 2015 Phillies either,
right?
You know, this 2008, is
2008, 2009.
I was saying 2015 because that's when you guys struck out a lot and you sucked. You know, going from one extreme, 27 Yankees, to the next extreme, which is, you know, the worst team, maybe the worst team in baseball history. You know, you've got options here. You can definitely work on some stuff and get some stuff going, but it's not like it's it's an easy matchup to where you can just blindly play him. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's
why we're talking about it.
I think there's upside in Eichhoff, but I also think that there is a lot of risk involved as well. And I don't know, other than multiple teams and tournaments, I don't know how willing I am to go there.
All right. Granted, I might have been a little selfish there trying to dig my own team into the mix. But
no, it's not that it's a bad play. It's got, like I said, it's got upside. It's just not, it's not your safest play either.
Hey, the Phillies don't do safe, my friend. They don't do safe.
No shit.
All right, let's talk about one that's a lot more interesting. The Pirates at the Dodgers tonight. Now, we've got Ivan Nova going up against Julio Urias, okay? Now, Ivan Nova, who was actually the NL Pitcher of the Month for April, going up against Julio Urias, who we know has all the talent in the world, actually did not record a strikeout in his last start there against the San Francisco Giants. Nova, again, he faced the Reds his last time out. He did not have his, you know, his 2017-like Nova performance, but this matchup does have a total of 7.5, and the Dodgers are favored at -195. So, you know, we saw Alex Wood absolutely dominate this Pirates, you know, right-handed laden squad last
and
night. Do you think Urias could do the same thing?
Yes, he can.
Okay.
Now, the old problem is with Julio Urias, he's 20 years old. He's not going to have a leash. He's not. Oh, what is his price? Let's see here. He is 7'3" on FanDuel, and he is 8K on DraftKings. I don't mind him on FanDuel, and I really don't mind him on DraftKings if you're wanting to load up on like Coors bats or something. But the issue here is going to be, just like last time and just like every time before it, how deep is he going to go and how efficient is he going to be while doing that? You know, he's pitched into the sixth inning. He's yet to pitch six innings. He's yet to give us a quality start. And he's done that, and he's only struck out five guys. Now, both of those starts were against the Giants, so it's not like it's a tougher matchup as far as strikeout capabilities are concerned. And we've seen what this Pirates team can do versus left-handed pitching as far as the K percentage. But it's not like it's not like Julio Urias is throwing seven innings with eight Ks of two-run ball. So, yeah. I probably won't go there, especially if he's going to be over-owned, which I think he's going to be, because he's just like, for whatever reason, he's a darling, even though he's got a good matchup.
It's the shades. It definitely is the shade.
It's got to be.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going there.
No.
He's interesting. I'd be more willing to go against a Von Nova. Or go to a Von Nova.
Right. I was going to say, I think, you know, GBPs, and again, you know, he had that really bad start at Cincinnati last time out, but you look at his body work before that, guy's been an absolute stud. And, you know, nobody's really thinking to go against this Dodgers team. You know.
Especially with the right-handed arm.
Exactly.
Because that's what they hit so well. I mean, we saw it last night.
One of my favorite things about a Von Nova, now, prior to his last start there at Cincinnati, he had one walk in 36 innings. That's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, and a pitcher.
Yeah, and like his whole time in Pittsburgh, I believe he's had three walks like the entire time. Like it's amazing what this guy is doing with control. So if you want to throw that outlier out there, I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, Vegas has already put this total at a 7.5. Yeah, we're in L.A., and they've given the Dodgers a -195 favoritism here, but I think Nova could have a lot to do here with this 7.5 low total here.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to get crazy, do the hunky do dory in your GPPs.
I think it's more of the fact that I think it's a combination of both the pitchers and the fact that the Pirates can't score runs. I would not be surprised if this was a 5-0 game with a lot of the five, you know, with Nova still getting his quality start, but not picking up the win, actually taking the loss. I would not be surprised at that at all. In fact, that's kind of how I see this game going. I just, you know, it's one of those things that Nova has the ability to go out and absolutely dominate a game, but this is not a good matchup for him. I don't mind it in tournaments as an SP2 on DK if you're rolling out multiple lineups, but he wouldn't be my first option.
Interesting. Now, the Pirates today actually have the lowest implied total on the entire board at 3.1 runs, according to our damn good friends out in Vegas over there. So keep that in mind. But again, I do not mind some Ivan Nova there for GPPs. All right, let's talk about some of these fellas holding the bats tonight. We've been talking about the pitchers. I think, all in all, who's your go-to Fonzie here tonight?
Fonzie?
Yeah, like, who's your go-to A Fonz?
I have a catcher.
Well, we're talking about pitchers here. Hold your horses.
You mean the target?
No, like who's going to be your favorite pitcher tonight? Who are you rolling out there on the mound? I mean, come on, man. We've been doing the podcast for how long together?
Yeah, but you've never called a pitcher Fonz.
That is true. That is true. I try to switch it up a little bit.
If you look at it, you look at a couple different things, and you're, I mean, obviously Max Scherzer I'm going to have some exposure to, just because, I mean, even in his adjusted DVSA grade, you're looking at an 18-point gap between him and Zach Wheeler, who's number two. And I don't know why the stats love Zach Wheeler so much, but they do.
Probably because he throws like 200 miles an hour, but, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't take into account velocity, but the stats love him going against the Giants. I know the Giants aren't very good, but they can at least battle you, and they're going to put quality at bats up. We saw that last night against DeGrom. They struck out a lot, but Zach Wheeler is not the strikeout artist that Jacob DeGrom is. Depending on what happens, and this is something that I'm going to watch for as I'm watching the afternoon game. It is a split doubleheader there in Coors. Joe Maddon, you are a piece of crap. I hate you. I do not like you right now. I will
got
like
a dope
you,
RV though.
I will like you again when you leave Denver, because he said they interviewed him. ESPN, I guess, interviewed him after the Sunday night game. He said the most important thing to us right now is to get to the airport, get on a plane, get some sleep, get to the hotel room, get some sleep, get up and wake up and do a rain dance.
Okay.
Well, for whatever reason, God likes Joe Maddon, because
he's a likable guy. I mean, I deny that,
dude. He is.
The Rays to the playoffs. That's all
he took the Rays to the World Series.
That is true. And then they got beat by my Philadelphia Phillies. But yes,
Clint Hurdle took the Rockies to the World Series, and nobody's clamoring over him.
Nobody cares.
Exactly. Even though that's probably just as big of a feat.
But yes, Joe Maddon took the Tampa Bay Rays, who play arena baseball, to the World Series. That is very impressive.
We play arena baseball as well. Except
stop trying to throw yourself in the mix here.
We
right?
play arena baseball where yourself in the mix, defense is optional.
All right,
anyways,
what about pitching?
Anyways,
gun to head. Going with.
You know, I'm going to be interested to see kind of what happens in this Colorado Rockies this first game. Because if the Cubs throw out their A lineup in game one against Senzatella, I might go to Kyle Freeland in game two.
All right.
The reason is because their stats versus left-handed pitching is not as good as it is versus right-handed pitching, if I remember correctly. It might be the other way around. Yeah, it's the other way around. Never mind.
All right. All right, for me, You do the dance out in Colorado. I'm going to take advantage of these AL pitchers going into the NL parks tonight. Justin Verlander, Drew Pomeranz. I think these guys are a little bit underpriced with having maybe a free strikeout or two attached to their cheap price. So Verlander and Pomeranz are both. Those are going to be my guys that I'm going with tonight.
Okay. I have a question for you.
All right.
Because this is something that's going to be brought up. There's two pitchers that are very interesting in my eyes today.
Okay? Is it Pomeranz and Verlander?
No. Actually, one of them's on the afternoon slate. It doesn't matter.
All right.
What are we doing with Jarrell Cotton?
Ooh, guess what? He's not pitching during the day, so I don't even want to think about him. He is only a good day pitcher. I don't know what it is about Mr. Cotton, but he can only pitch during the day. He just doesn't do it at night. During the day, the guy's a Cy Young candidate. At night, I don't even know the man.
I want to see these splits.
Go and take a look at them right now. I know that we said we weren't going to look at the internet
that's what
today.
I'm doing is I'm actually looking them up right now.
They're amazing, and you could go back to 2016. The splits are amazing. I don't understand what this guy has against the night. But
can we? Well, I mean, he's the anti Dark Knight. Can we really take a lot of? Because, let's see here, he threw his career.
The man does not like the night. It's crazy.
I know, I'm trying to say this. Hold on. He threw, I mean, he's only thrown 65 innings in his career.
Right.
So how can we?
Look at the splits. Yeah. Look at the splits.
I'm looking. I'm trying to find the damn day-night.
ESPN.com. Shameless plug.
It should be on Fangraphs as well.
Oh my God, how do you not have her right now? Come on.
Because I'm looking on Fangraphs.
I'm sorry, folks. My podcast friend is slow. He cannot find the splits. I mean, it's like right there on the player profile. You're lucky that these people like us. Otherwise, they would definitely pop over to Francesa right now.
Yeah, well, if they want to go to if they want to go to Francesca, then let them go. Okay, yeah. So Fangraphs doesn't have day-night splits, evidently.
You got to go to ESPN.com.
I'm like, going right now. Damn it.
This is unbelievable.
And so, what I'm saying is we're sitting here talking, and it's not like it's a huge sample size. So can we really, really say, okay, and it's the Angels without Mike Trout, possibly.
Very true.
So can we really take into account the splits that are showing? You know what I mean?
Well, once you take a look at those splits, you might have a different opinion.
All right. So let's see. Home, he's thrown 15 innings. He's got a 1.72 whip, 6.89 ERA this year. Let's see here.
Just tell the people. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Tell him how much he hates the Knight. Come on.
Knight, 8.36 ERA to 1.89.
Tell him about the day. Tell him about the day, Tom.
1.89.
Yeah. How you like that?
So, let's see. Is he on the road or is he at home?
He is at home.
Okay, so we've got the worst of both worlds colliding tonight. His home ERA is over four runs higher, and his day versus night ERA is, you know, almost 7 runs.
Ridiculous.
Oh, gosh. So does this mean that we're stacking Angels?
Not stacking, but I would not mind a one-off. How about Luis Valbuena last night going yard, straight away center field?
Yeah, but that's Kendall Graveman.
Still, straightaway center field at Oakland is very impressive. Granted, it squeaked off the top of the wall, but yes, very impressive.
I thought the center fielder was about to catch it for a second. I sat there and I looked, and I just saw
Graveman on the leaf slip.
I just saw the center fielder going back and back and back, and I was like, "Who hit this?" I was like, "Because nobody's in the lineup." And then all of a sudden. He basically
fell into the center field garage out there. All right, let us talk about some bats tonight. We have teased the folks for way too long, but remember last night. Let's start with the catchers. And remember last night it was Gary Sanchez going up against Rookie Davis. Now, granted, he was massive chalk, like fuck. You know, across the entire slate.
I thought people were going to forget about him,
but he still had 22 points.
And I don't care.
Basically, if you didn't have Gary Sanchez last night as your catcher.
Yeah. No, screw that. You could go get. Oh, my gosh. No,
I'm just saying
that.
Last night.
No, you didn't have to. Because as long as you had Yankees in there, like Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury had a good game. Like, you didn't have to have. Or you could have had Didi. You could have had, you know,
Castro.
Well,
how about this, Keith? It sure as hell helped.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it did not help, but I'm saying that, oh my God, on a 10-game slate for somebody to be freaking 40% owned, holy crap. You could have had Buster Posey at a fraction of the ownership.
Yeah, yard, that's right.
And, oh my gosh.
He went yard off face, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, so who's our guy tonight? Who's our guy behind the dish tonight?
I mean, you can... I'm fading Gary Sanchez tonight. Back on the fade Gary Sanchez wagon just because of it. I mean, you could look at Buster Posey. You can look at Devin Mesoraco.
Spanish listeners.
Yep. Salvador Perez is interesting. You know, unfortunately, Russell Martin gets hot and then he goes on the DL. Mm. That's always nice. There's a lot of beat-up catchers today. Cameron Rupp.
Hey, I like Cameron Rupp.
Depending on who is – Tony Walters should be back. I don't mind Tony Walters versus John Lackey or – Ryan Hannigan versus John Lackey, depending on which one is in the lineup. I'm not playing Dustin Garneau at 3.5K. Chris Herman against Justin Verlander, you know, in that ballpark. But I think if I'm going anywhere, I'm going to one of the Houston catchers. I'm going to Gattis or I'm going to McCann.
Okay.
They're going up against Bartolo Colon, and they're in Houston. I don't see this ending well for Bartolo today.
No, that works. Houston, minus 195 favorite right now. 8.5 is the run total for the game in general. And, you know, we didn't talk about this during the pitchers, but, you know, Atlanta hasn't necessarily been swinging the bats so well over the last couple of days. So, you know, a lot of that could be.
They got shut down over the weekend, and that was very odd. Indeed, with how hot they've been, that was very, very odd for St. Louis pitching to go in there and shut them down.
In their home park, too. And exactly. I have a friend on Facebook who's been like, he's a big Braves fan. It's SunTrust Park. We've been crushing it. Take 7 losses in a row, you jerk off. How you like them apples? But yeah, the Astros right there again with Gattis, McCann. That could be a very nice combo right there going up against Bartolo Colon. I dig that. So yes, you can have that. And of course, what the hell is his name? Yasmani Grandal, always a home run candidate there for the Dodgers. So take a look at him.
I don't know if I want to pick on maybe as a part of a stack with Grandal. But it depends on where he's going to be in that lineup. But I don't know if I want to pick on Ivan Nova that much today.
Fair enough. To each his own.
Maybe we look to... I'm just trying to sit here and think, you know, I mean, maybe a James McCann going up against Robbie Ray, you know, that crushes lefties at 2.9K there.
Ray does give up a lot of hard contact
and a lot of home runs in that ballpark. Catcher sucks today.
You know, we were talking about the Astros in that game too. Charlie Morton going for the Astros tonight. He has been a lot more susceptible to right-handers with reverse splits this season. So, I don't know. Just think about Tyler Flowers
or Kurt Suzuki.
Kurt Suzuki, one of those guys, could be a nice little decent cheap option there from the Braves.
Tyler Flowers isn't cheap. He's 3.5K.
Well, 2,800 there on FanDuel. Suzuki,
I would rather play Jason Castro Suzuki, versus 20, Mike Pelfrey.
Suzuki, 2,600 there too for the Braves. So
yeah, I mean, I would rather
not exactly the cheapest, but
they're not cheap after that little hot streak. I would rather play Jason Castro versus Mike Pelfrey in Chicago today. I think.
All right, sounds good.
First base.
Yes, first base. Now, I'm going to go a little bit off the radar here. I know, you know, we talked a little bit about Justin Verlander, but if you do want to spend up, you want to get all sorts of crazy tonight, Paul Goldschmidt, Justin Verlander has been a little susceptible to right-handed pitching. This goes for this season, and it goes back to last season as well. So I can guarantee you that Goldschmidt, especially on FanDuel at 4,400, will be below 5% owned tonight. So I think he could certainly get to Verlander. Again, if you want to be contrarian against the bunch, Goldschmidt against Verlander. I like it a lot tonight.
Yeah, and he offers you not just, you know, the power upside that you look for in first baseman, but he also steals bases, ladies and gentlemen.
We're talking about him like he's a used car, ladies and gentlemen.
He is multidimensional and multifacetable. But yeah, I mean, he's a good place to start. Don't look now. Matt Carpenter's actually learned how to hit in the three hole. He was always somebody, lefties. Huh?
And against lefties last night.
Oh, he's always hit lefties though.
Okay.
He's hit lefties pretty well throughout his career. I was more worried when they moved him out of that leadoff spot, because this is, like we talked about it last year, this is somebody that we didn't target unless he was in the leadoff spot last year. He's starting to learn how to hit in another spot, and I don't mind that. You know, it's, yes, I know it's Marlins Park, But, you know, it's still not a bad situation there. Jose Abreu going up against Hector Santiago is still hot. Matt Reynolds, if he gets, depending on what they do, it's going to be very, very tough. This is where I think the late swap option, you're going to have to be able to use it tonight, because depending on when the set lineup for the second game comes out, we may or may not have to kind of, you know, guide some Rockies and Cubs into our lineups. Somebody that we need to watch out for is Anthony Rizzo. I know he was going to be in the lineup yesterday, but he did get hit in the hand by a Chapman fastball. So that's something that we've got to pay attention to.
We talked about this on yesterday's podcast. I legit thought that he got drilled in the nipple with that fastball. It was the forearm.
Yeah.
He got drilled around.
Well, they thought his wrist was nasty. Broken.
Well, it should have been. I mean, I don't know how it's not. Hey,
bionic wrists.
Speaking of extreme flyball pitchers, don't forget we got Tommy Joseph, who's actually been swinging the bat pretty well, going up against Ariel Miranda, 2,700 today on FanDuel. He's at Citizens Bank Park. Again, Miranda, extreme flyball pitcher, Tommy Joseph, swinging the bat well. Could be today's Trey Mancini of yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. We've been trying to find ways to plug Tommy Joseph in, but, you know, first base is loaded.
It always is. It always is.
Let's see here. Yonder Alonso, Ryan Healy going against... Huh?
I was going to say, they got TJ Rivera today at first base on FanDuel.
They moved the positionings. Great. Awesome.
I don't like it.
Yonder Alonso and Ryan Healy would be my later guys going up against Alec Meyer.
I dig. All right. Let us talk about these second basemen here tonight. You know, you got a decent amount of options here, but who's sticking out among all the options?
Jose Altuve.
The shortest of the bunch, okay.
The shortest of the bunch. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's going up against Bartolo Colon, and I know it didn't quite work out last time stacking against Bartolo, but it is Bartolo Colon. I'm going back to the well, and I will continue to go back to the well until he decides to call it a career. Robinson Cano against your boy Jared Eichhoff is probably in a good spot. I don't mind a one-off of Jonathan Scope.
Mm.
Max Scherzer is a guy that allows a lot of home runs. Now, most of the time they are of the
30 last season.
Yeah, they are of the solo variety, but don't mind that. Jason Kipnis, Jose Ramirez going against Mike Bolsinger. We know Mike Bolsinger is not a very good pitcher. I'm not chasing the Ryan Goings dong from last night, but good luck to you that are to those of you that decide to.
Let's not forget we've got Jared Weaver pitching for the Padres this evening. Rougned Odor. 3,100, yeah. Second baseman there.
I'm
looking pretty damn tempting.
He's looking tempting. Now, here's the problem. We talked about this with the Rockies when they were struggling with the bats. This is the last guy I want to see. If I'm struggling, give me somebody that's going to throw 95 and straight rather than somebody who's going to junk ball me to death and keep me off balance. Weaver does allow a lot of home runs. I'm not – we saw that. We've seen it. But, you know, he's capable of keeping a team off balance for 5-6 innings. You know, it's not that – he's not a good pitcher, but he's capable of finessing his way through a damn outing from time to time. And he's got – with the way that the Rangers' bats have been struggling lately, he's – It's probably not a good time for the Rangers to see Jared Weaver. I'm not saying go play Jared Weaver because I don't think the strikeout upside is there. But I'm just saying that I don't think it's a good time to go see him.
You know, it's not a bad idea, and I get what you're saying there with Weaver. But if there are two guys on the Rangers with softball swings, it's Rougned Odor
and Joey Gallo
and Mike Napoli. And yeah, throw Gallo in there as well. But I think all three of those guys are certainly, you know, they got the stroke to go yard against Weaver tonight. So yeah. I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either. Neil Walker against Jeff Samardzija is interesting. In the later games, you've got our boy Jed Lowry.
Lowry.
Still under 3K on
Jed
both sites.
Jed Lowry.
Mike Lowry. For those of you that don't know, that's our Bad Boys reference.
Bad Boys. Nice fucking fish. Big fucking eyes. Nice fucking fish.
There you go. That's pretty much where I'm looking. Probably at second base. I'm not going to Ben Zobrist against Kyle Freeland. For those of you that don't know, Kyle Freeland actually leads the major leagues in ground ball percentage this season.
I knew that.
He's got the highest ground ball percentage and the lowest fly ball percentage on today's slate.
Damn, girl. Now,
as opposed to Max Scherzer, who's got one of the lowest ground ball percentages and one of the highest fly ball percentages. But he also does dominate the swinging strike rate by like 4%.
We did talk about Jed Lowry there. Of course, going to be ridiculously popular. You know, again, I just want to throw it out there. Probably a nice night to fade him after doing the double dong.
I don't know if he's going to be.
Yeah, gonna be very tough for him to duplicate that kind of success that he had last night.
Right, so. But I'm not looking for him to duplicate it. But I'm looking for him to still have a good game. He's swinging the bat well right now, and I still don't think he's going to be very popular just because nobody, like, on a 15-game slate, you know, nobody's going to go to Oakland for bats.
I don't know. Chris Davis was pretty popular last night, so.
Well, yeah, because it's Chris Davis. Out of everybody in that lineup, he's the first person you think that has the ability to double dong, you know. The next is probably Ryan Healy and Yonder Alonso. I mean, those are your three guys that you normally target.
But wouldn't people drift towards the guy that actually did double dong last night?
They think it's an outlier.
We're trying to get inside the minds of other people, but.
Well, I'm very good at projecting ownership, except for it's still a conundrum how relatively low owned on a daily or a nightly basis Colorado is and Coors Field.
But again, you got to think that's a lot price driven because they're so expensive.
Is it price driven,
you know?
Or is it industry driven where everybody's like, oh, fake Coors Field.
Everybody wants some of the high altitude, but can they afford it?
Every single player. No, well, yeah, because there was a freaking hailstorm 3 hours But everybody nowadays, everybody is saying, oh, Coors Field is going to be so popular, and then they're not because everybody decides that they want to get cute and fade them. And what do? I keep playing them, and I'm getting them under 15%.
I don't think it's getting cute and fading them. I just think that they're pretty damn expensive. Like, you get a guy like
Kershaw on the slate or, you know, Scherzer, where he's the only viable option. You don't need to worry about it.
But what I'm saying is we're trying to delve into the mind of other people here, and I could certainly see.
I'm just going from where every single podcast, every single show, Sirius, they're all saying the exact same thing.
But what Coors I'm saying
is
be
popular, and they're saying it blindly now.
I understand the hesitancy for people to pay $3,600 for Mark Reynolds. You know, like
why he's one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
But okay, but it's Mark Reynolds, right? Like. You know, we talk about Trevor Cahill a couple times, you know, every time we talk about the podcast and how well he's doing in pitching. You still have the same sort of thing. It's like, it's Trevor Cahill. I don't know if I want to pay that, I don't know if I want to play him on the slate. But again, Mark Reynolds is kind of the hitter's version of Trevor Cahill, where people are like, I don't know if I want to do that. But the guy's still producing. You know what I mean?
Not the last 2 years, he's not. The last 2 years, his contact percentage has gone up. His strikeout percentage has gone down.
We're talking like blind looking at the guy, right?
Right,
like,
because everybody's got like, the inclination that he either hits home runs or he strikes out. And right, that's like not Mark Reynolds
anymore.
When we
think about Trevor Cahill, we're like, ugh. When we think about Mark Reynolds, we're like, ugh. That's what I'm saying, like first notion with these people. And again, you like people just don't want to pay that high price when they can go to a Great American Ballpark and, you know, get like a Eugenio Suarez for, you know, just around the same price in a better matchup. But that's the whole thing. I don't think people are done with Coors Field. Like, we're done with the altitude. I just think they're done with the prices. And, you know, we still have a couple ballparks that can do the job just as well.
I think it has more to do with everybody saying that they should fade Coors Field because of how popular they're supposed to be. Now, do the prices play into that? Yes, probably. But I don't think it's as much as you think it is.
Put it on the poll. Run it up the poll. Let's put it on Twitter.
Coors Field has become contrarian. It's hilarious.
We're going to have a poll today. What's your beef with Coors?
On a 15-game slate, Coors Field is considered contrarian.
We're putting a poll up there.
Especially if you get any sort of decent pitcher in there, like a Zach Greinke or a Jake Arrieta or anybody else.
Great beard, by the way.
Huh?
Great beard, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, he does. He does have a great beard.
Fantastic.
It's not going to help him with his sinker, though.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk about these third base fellas here tonight. We get Chris Bryant twice, Nolan Arenado twice on today's slate. But who at the hot corner are we liking the most today?
You mean outside of those two?
Yes.
I'm not chasing Luis Valbuena. Miguel Sano is in a really good spot. So is Todd Frazier.
Sano, one of the hottest hitters in the league.
What's that?
Sano, one of the hottest hitters in the league.
Yes. Yes, he is. We got a Travis Shaw revenge game against Drew Pomeranz. Now I know it's lefty on lefty, but Shaw's been pretty good hitting lefties this season.
And Pomeranz not an overpowering lefty.
No, he's not. Eugenio Suarez against CC Sabathia. Jed Jerko versus Dan Straley, although Dan Straley's actually got some strikeout upsides.
Jed Jerko likes his righties.
TJ Rivera, Jose Reyes. I mean, their base is loaded as normal. Manny Machado, there's a really good one-off that you're probably going to get at low ownership percentage that you can probably attack. And your boy Mikel Franco and Kyle Seager. I mean, both of those guys are good as well.
Remember with Mikel Franco, I had like the biggest beef. Like I only liked playing him against right-handed pitching, but he's done such a great job against left-handed pitching. Miranda, again, just an extreme fly ball pitcher. I do not think that's going to work well at Citizens Bank Park tonight. So
no, yes, I will have a Philly stack.
Yeah, Mikel Franco certainly works well here.
So Manny Machado has had 18 career at-bats versus our boy Max.
Okay.
Can you guess how many hits?
One hit.
Yes, and that hit is a?
That's a dong.
Yes, sir.
I could just tell by the tone of your voice right there.
Yeah, it's probably not going to go there. Jose Ramirez as well against Mike Bolsinger in Toronto.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of good options at third base today.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Nothing really popping up, but again, you know, not to be a homer or anything, but Mikel Franco there against an extreme fly ball pitcher. Every time we talk about Miranda today, I'm just gonna say extreme fly ball pitcher at Citizens Bank Park. So that should work out pretty well.
Let's see here. Can I want to do Max Scherzer? Let's see here. Let's go Mikel Franco. Aaron Altair's $3,700.
By the way, Jeff Manns brought up Aaron Altair on the XM, the Sirius XM show the other day.
Yes, props. He did.
Props. Way to go, bro.
I don't know if I can pay $3,700 for him.
Why not? Nobody else is going to do it.
Oh, true. Good. Adubo Herrera, Aaron Altair. God, just because. I mean, we're talking. my freaking God.
You know, the great thing about Altair, which is this our segue into outfielders?
Sure.
All right, great. Sounds
good. We skipped over shortstop.
All right, we'll go back there. All right. Altair, again, still popping off against right-handers. It doesn't even matter, lefty, righty. The guy's just doing it all. So 3,700. Nobody's paying up there. There's your.
By the way, you cannot build a Philadelphia Phillies stack with Cesar Hernandez, Mikel Franco, Aaron Altair, and Odubel Herrera.
You don't want Cesar on the right side. You want him on the left side.
Okay.
You want a left-handed Cesar, not a right-handed Cesar. Let's talk about these shortstops, which we neglected a little bit. Again, you know, we got a couple here, but how about I'm liking Xander Bogaerts above the rest. Now, he's a guy that's really not popping off with any power, but he's getting a lot of hits. I believe he's like 20 for his last 30. Like, his numbers lately are just absolutely phenomenal. The power is what I'm waiting on to come around, and I think it could definitely come around tonight against Peralta at Miller Park.
I don't know. I can't see it. I need to go reconfirm what his launch angle has been, because his launch angle, last time I looked, is significantly lower this year than it was last year. Like, his swing has flattened out. Where his hard contact's up a little bit, his swing plane has flattened out a little bit. Now, can he get him? Yes. But his swing's not profiling power right now.
It's no,
profiling
not, I mean,
gap to gap. It's profiling.
The guy's just getting on base, which I like. But again,
he's hitting like a leadoff or a two-hole hitter rather than a three-hole.
If he's going, yeah, and they keep putting him in the five-hole. But if he's going to finally do it, I think he's going to do it against Wiley. I mean, we take a look at his numbers over the course of the season: 340s and no homers. But hey, what a great time to get your first homer at Miller Park on a Tuesday night, right?
Now, Wiley Peralta has not been bad this season.
No, he has not.
His velocity is up almost 5 miles per hour. This is one of the reasons why. Now, he has yet to work into the seventh inning at any of them, but a lot of that has to do with the higher number of strikeouts that he's getting. He's only really had one bad start, and that was against St. Louis.
Who absolutely owns his face.
Yeah, I mean, it was 9 hits, 4 innings. It was bad.
We have been waiting for Boston to just, you know, and it's crazy, right? Like, we've been waiting on them. And then they had that 10-run inning on, what was that, Sunday. They had the day off. I don't know. Do things carry over for them? That would be pretty awesome if they did.
I will be very, very limited in my Boston batters exposure because of what Peralta has shown the ability to do. And I think that they could be very highly owned because it is still Wiley Peralta.
Good point.
I will cover my bases on it. But I think that I'm going to be limited because it's going to be a just in case type thing.
Gotcha.
But I'm more leaning, like, if I was making one lineup, Boston would not even be on the short list.
Okay.
So I think they're going to be over-owned and blindly owned, in my opinion. I would rather go attack the Twins and White Sox. You got Tim Anderson there in the leadoff hole. Now, he is still pressing, but it is still Hector Santiago. Jorge Polanco is always somebody that pops off the page. Of course, you got guys like Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Corey Seager. Addison Russell is a guy that, if I remember correctly, traditionally kills us. So if he's going to play double duty today, Zach Cozart, there against CC, obviously Frankie Lindor, and, your boy Freddie Galvis. So,
hey, Freddie, he actually had a pretty nice day there on Sunday. All right, let's get to the outfielders here real quick, and then we'll cap it off with some stacks to close off the day here. So who here now? We're talking about Boston, maybe not the best from an ownership perspective, but Andrew Benintendi, boy, really, really hard to.
If I was playing a one-off,
to downgrade what he's been doing lately.
Exactly, and that's what I was about to say. If I was playing a one-off in Boston, he would be the guy. Like, it doesn't matter if he's in the two-hole, if he's in the four-hole, if he's in the leadoff, wherever he is, wherever they put him, he just hits. And so if I was playing a one-off, he would be the guy I would play. And that's just, I really do like this kid. I think he's a budding superstar.
Would you take him in, you know, as a foster child if he was on your front doorstep?
It is very, very, very possible, yes.
I would say that's a no-brainer, because if he comes and he becomes your child, I mean, think about all the riches that he will bring you later on in life.
Yeah, but I would do it not because of the riches. I would do it for the perks.
You're a horrible person. Horrible.
How am I a horrible person? I don't
want...
How do you
not think about the riches? God,
because
man.
I just want the access to the players.
Horrible. I can hear the deceit in your voice. Come on, man.
I just want
the
access to the players. Okay, so we've got... I keep going back to this Minnesota-Chicago game. Melky Cabrera, Abisail Garcia, I think are both in play. I might be willing to do a wraparound stack with the Minnesota Twins, depending on who's at the bottom of that order. Byron Buxton's actually been hitting the ball pretty well over the last week or so. What do you mean, no?
No. You have Byron. You know what? You want to adopt Byron Buxton?
No, I
know. Go right
that.
The hell ahead, bro. You can
okay,
have him.
Okay, so this is a guy that on April 25th.
I'll take Benintendi.
His salary,
you take Buxton. We'll go B for B.
This is a guy that on April 25th, his salary was $2,000. Okay. 12 days later, his salary is now $2,700. This is his game log. Now, he did not start that game against Oakland. No, wait, sorry, he did. But he left early, okay, because he got hurt. He got hit in the head or something like that. But,
Boy, that's a good sell.
Yeah. His last game, it looked like Sunday, was against Boston, 6.2, and this is FanDuel, okay? Then he had the zero where he left early on the 4th, which was Thursday, the afternoon game. Before that, 12, 22, 18, 6, 9, 21, 9, 3, 3. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He is hitting the ball. He is actually producing right now. And nobody is going to own him. Nobody is going to own him. If you are doing a twin stack against Mike Pelfrey, which you should, because it's Mike Pelfrey, why not go get Byron Buxton, Brian Dozier, Max Kepler, and Miguel Sano? If I'm making multiple stacks, Byron Buxton, if he's in that lineup, no matter where he is going to be in at least one of them. We talk about this all the time. Finding guys that are starting to produce and jumping on them before everybody else does. We did it with the Braves. We've done it with the Yankees. Now they're overpopular. You know, we've done it with a lot of these teams. The Twins and some of these guys, when we look at the Twins, we look at Kenny Vargas, Miguel Sano, Brian Dozier, You know, Max Kempler.
You put Byron Buxton. By the way, I was talking for like 2 minutes and I forgot I had the mute button on. But you put Byron Buxton in the same class as the New York Yankees. That is not where he is. Byron Buxton is going to get you the equivalent of a home run, right? So 18 points is what he'll probably get.
And he's going to be 2% owned.
But he's not going to do anything above and beyond that. His chances of striking out are far greater than any other outcome.
They're
far greater than any other outcome that he's going to have tonight. So you can go with Byron Buxton.
You can go not look at the stats because he's not striking out at the same rate he was at the beginning of the season.
I don't care. It's Byron Buxton. He's not going to get you 50 points. Like the upside to him is just not there.
How many guys are capable of giving you 50 points?
I could count them on one hand. Well, Aaron Judge, Andrew Benintendi.
Andrew McCutchen is not going to give you 50 points.
He damn well could. He's got a better shot at doing it than Buxton.
Okay, and you're paying.
Well, I got a better shot at doing it with one arm tied behind his back.
And again, you're still looking at it dollar for dollar. Okay, you're still looking at it straight across the board.
I'm looking at an opportunity.
You're paying 4.1K with a 10-15% higher ownership,
right? But at least there's an actual.
And it's baseball.
There's a realistic chance that he's going to get there. Byron Buxton is shit,
and he's got a
shit.
He's
batting, what, 150? And I understand he got off to a slow start, but the guy is shit.
I don't care what he's batting for this season. What is he doing right now?
He's going to be doing it on
he's
somebody else.
He's hitting the ball, Al.
He's not going to do it in my
stats.
Lineup.
You can't argue that.
He's not doing it in my lineup. I'll tell you that right now.
That's fine, but you can't argue the fact that he's not hitting he's hitting the ball a hell of a lot better, and he's producing. You can't argue that fact.
I'm not impressed looking at
you
his numbers right now.
You might not be impressed because you're so worried about Aaron damn Judge.
I'm really not. Like I brought him up like in terms of who's going to do better than Buxton, but let's take a look at his game log, right? Like I just brought it up. So he's maxed out at 22.2.
Right.
Like that's his max.
And guess
that's
what
max.
His salary was when he did that? 2.6K.
He's at 2.7 right now.
Okay, and he's going to be 2% owned.
No.
It's what I'm telling you.
What, two extra base hits in the last 10 games?
I'm telling you, it's Mike Pelfrey, and if you can wrap around it in a stack and go Buxton, Dozier, Kepler, Sano.
No.
It is a very, very good tournament option. And everybody's going to be thinking the same exact thing. I'm not playing Byron Buxton. Why? Because everything has been made about his strikeout percentage so far this year.
Because he sucks.
He was the number one prospect in baseball.
He sucks. He's a douche.
He was the number one prospect in baseball. He does not suck. He might not have progressed the way that we all thought he would. But, okay, I'm sorry. He's a late bloomer. Whatever's happened, he's changed something. He's learned something.
Right.
I'm saying Byron Buxton, the way he's been playing, is not a bad play.
All right. You let us know how it goes, all right?
I will.
All right.
I'm putting in my Minnesota Twins stack with Byron Buxton right now with my Philly stack.
You're ridiculous. I'm gonna have Xander Bogaerts doing the same damn thing, and it's gonna work out well. All right. We are done for today's podcast. You can catch Keith's Segway podcast with the Byron Buxton love affair later on today on DFSArmor.com. But if you want to chat with us, make sure you find us in the DFS Slack chat. We're going to be there all day. Going to be working on Boomer's Ballers. Going to be working on a couple different things out there today. I'm not going to have the daily notes today because we had a bit of a different set away into the podcast today, but I will be helping on the list. I will do Walsh's Wingmen and all sorts of things like that. Chop's going to be in the Slack chat as well. So it's going to be a fun-filled Tuesday. We're going to have a little day baseball to look at as well. So make sure you catch us there. Again, if you want to find us on Twitter, make sure you go to DFS Army. That's where you find the whole gang. If you want to find me personally, 14A.Walsh. And then for Keith, you're going to find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. And then that is exactly where you can tweet him and tell him how much Byron Buxton is a douche. So thank you for tuning in to the podcast today. We will chat with you. We gone. Peace.
Peace out.